Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. Every Tuesday, we are having a public discussion of anything and everything pertaining to anything and everything, and that is the penal system, prisoners, victims, causes, mental illnesses, addictions, symptoms, effects, outcomes, changes, politics, and everyone and anyone is welcome to speak out, to talk about the issues that they are interested in or involved in, and I welcome them. This is an opportunity for everyone having to say something to say. They can voice their opinions. They can provide feedback. We can brainstorm for ways to improve the current issues because we don't have the politicians and the lawmakers these days actually working on a lot of these issues that should be addressed. Deprivations and abuses, psychological healing, you know, appropriate rehabilitation, treatment, and healing. We've got a lot of issues going on, and I want to say this is the time of the year right now that everyone's getting ready for Hanukkah, Christmas, or whatever the case may be. Many are forgetting about those behind those prison walls and the homeless that are out in the street, that are behind the walls, that are being confined, that are in solitary, that are on restrictive housing blocks, that are being left with nothing. We've been in a pandemic for the last almost 2 years now. Next month we'll make it two, or the month after we'll make it 2 years. We have people in prison who have absolutely nothing. They have been kept in a cell for 22 to 24 hours a day, especially since the pandemic. They have had nothing. They have no connection with the outside world other than to be able to make a phone call or to receive, if they're lucky enough, to receive mail, because we know there is also mail tampering. So these are the things. This morning, I went on a station where they do prayers, and I asked for prayers. I asked them to pray for those behind those prison walls who are being deprived of everything. Around these holidays, those who have nothing, those who are going to spend Christmas alone in a cell, we have to look at all the people on the outside in the communities who are going to be with families and friends, celebrating the holidays, enjoying themselves. And many of these people are not even going to be thinking of the main reason for Christmas. When the Christ Jesus was born, he came into this world, and he didn't associate with the elite, the wealthy. He sought out the poverty-stricken, the poor. He sought out the weak. And we have Christmas every December 25th, where people are buying gifts for one another, enjoying and drinking and eating. And that's what it says in the last days. This is what's going to be taking place as well. People will be eating and drinking and marrying and doing all these things that they are enjoying without thinking about those who have nothing. So we're going to be talking a little bit about these issues, but I also want to hear what you have to say. And so we have a caller, and I'd like to have you state your first name and what you'd like to talk about. 575. Okay, so this person is probably calling in to listen, and I have a lot to say, so anyone that wants to just listen, they can listen to this. I am a Christian, and I may not act like a Christian all the time because, like many of us, we get frustrated, and we go off on things. My whole opinion, my whole theological view is all the things that are going in around in this country, all the things that are happening, and how many people are really concerned about these things. Because many, they don't speak, they just listen. Why they listen to hear about these issues, I don't know. Because when I hear about these issues, it really motivates me to want to make change. Whether it's bringing in awareness, whether it's praying and asking for prayer for these people, whether it's going to bed at night and not being able to sleep because your mind is on a loved one that's being abused, or your mind is on others that are out there facing these injustices. When I think about the number of legislative members in this country, it's not just 100, it's not just 200, it's thousands throughout the country, legislative members in all kinds of areas, whether it be state or federal, whether it be senators or representatives. When I think about all these things, we should be living in a worry-free country. We should be living in a country there's no mass incarceration, where there's plenty of rehabilitation as in other countries, where people are being healed and not abused more, where people are being looked at as to why they committed a crime. We have people that are so judgmental in this country, that are so judgmental, that are so hateful. This is a month where everyone, I hope, will start showing some sympathy, some compassion, some mercy, some love. Let's see what you were born to be. Let's see what you were raised to be. Because I know I was raised by a loving couple who raised us to be honest, compassionate towards others, to help others, not to look at ourselves as being more important than others, to share what we have, to love those we do not know. That's me. That's the way I was raised. But I have a lot of anger and frustration in me now. And this is what our government has caused. They have caused many of us to lose our first love, as it says in the Bible, to become angry and vengeful, or become angry and frustrated. We live in a country full of hatred, racism. We live in a country full of retaliation and vengeance. We live in a country that if you're not wealthy or you're not among the middle class, then you're nothing. And even the wealthy in the middle class get together to talk about the issues. There's a lot of people on CNN News, MSNBC, Fox, and all these stations where they bring on these so-called experts. How in the heck can anybody be an expert if they haven't even been in a situation? They don't even go into the prison. They don't even go and meet with the people in the homeless places, on the streets. They probably drive by in their limousines as if they're Mr. Big Ship. People that cause problems, they don't resolve them, they cause them. What they should be doing is getting people on the streets and bringing them on their radio shows and their television shows and getting the truth from the real victims out there, the people that these elite are talking about, these experts are talking about. Bring in the ones that really need to talk about the issues. Because I'll tell you, there's a lot of people in the streets and going to AA meetings that are actually well-educated. I remember taking a client years ago to an AA meeting, and there was a lawyer there. He was an alcoholic, but he had been sober 12 years, who spoke about his situation. This was a man who lost his family, who lost his practice, who lost everything because his alcohol problem was so bad. He even spoke about his best friend trying to tell him that he was having a problem and he needed help. He stopped associating with that best friend. He went to a nightclub one night. He got himself so drunk that on the way out, he opened the wrong door and landed just inches away from a hot water boiler. Before he realized his friend was right, he needed help. We have kids in the street. Kids in the street that don't know what's going on in their lives because they have been so messed up by adults. No role models anymore. So these kids are walking the streets, getting in with other kids that are walking the streets that have no role models, that have no clue as to where they're going, where they're heading. Because this country is so divided. This country is so messed up. Even our own leaders don't know how to lead. Yet these kids are getting in trouble. And where do they put them? Instead of putting them in rehabilitation facilities, long-term rehabilitation facilities, they put them in prisons. And some of these children are now in their 60s and 70s and 80s and still in prison. Change needs to be done. Change needs to be done. And I'm going to invite the 575 on again if they want to say something. You see, this is the difference between resolutions and problems. I have always spoken my piece. When I see something wrong, when I see something that's not right, I speak out. I had a loved one, have a loved one, who held everything in. And as a result, he was stumbled. And I tell everybody, I'd rather talk and talk and talk and let everything out. Let all the frustration out. Let all the anger out. Let all my knowledge out, rather than to hold everything in until you can't hold it in any longer and you turn to do something drastic. People are afraid to speak out. They're either insecure or they're either afraid to go up against their peers in fear that they might lose friends. And if somebody is that desperate that they're afraid of losing friends, they need to be seeing a doctor, psychologist, or psychiatrist. Because you came into this world. Would you like to say something?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I couldn't get my phone off of mute. Really hard to get off of mute. Anyway, I'm Oyateota. I'm from South Dakota, Lakota. And I'm not poor right now. But I hear what you're saying about all of that. And I've been incarcerated before, and I've been messing with drugs before. I've been homeless before quite a bit. And I just pulled myself up out of all of that. And you know, I've just been making my way since then. But what I'm talking about is, you know, Lakota, we don't have, many of us anyway, don't have Christmas because we don't believe in the Christian way. We're not Christians. And we don't believe in incarceration because we're not, you know, Americans. And
we're
so,
not Americans. I want to say I'm not an American either. I'm a representative of a country my roots are from. People may call this America, and they might think because they live in America, they're Americans. But America, this country is not America. It's the United States. It's supposed to be, where people are united from all over the world representing their country. But again, I want you to finish what you were saying, because I understand, and I want to tell you, I'm really proud that you were able to pull yourself out of all these situations you were in. So you have a right to speak out. If you can get out of a situation or situations you've been in. And I know that the natives have gone through a lot. So go ahead and speak. I'm sorry to have interrupted.
Okay. Well, I work with Chinumpa Gluhamani. And I'm the kind of the founder, the initiator of independence for Lakota from the United States. And in doing that, I sent a delegation to the UNPO in The Hague and to the United Nations. Anyway, right now, you know, we're seeking recognition for our independence. Excuse me. So we want control of our territory back because we never relinquished our independence from the beginning. The United States came and made these treaties and forced our people into that, subverted us into dependence on them. And, you know, we looked at ourselves like nations like China and Russia. They're Chinese and Russian. They speak Chinese and Russian. They have their own borders. You know, what happened to the Lakota? You know, there was no war declared that they won over us. They just subverted us through their force of arms, germ warfare, and basically genocide all the way around. And so that's the situation we're in. And, you know, we're putting together a package and a plan and a group to take this to the United Nations Security Council and put it up for a vote in the United Nations. one. So, you know, if we could ever get this accomplished, Leona, it would set a precedent, and then we could take control of our own justice system and the rest of our laws, our own economy, and right on down everything, our own culture. You know, we need to get all of our culture back, not just part of it. They stole it from us, took it. They wouldn't allow a lot of it to happen. They wouldn't allow the burial. They wouldn't allow the ceremony. They wouldn't allow the language, and so on and so forth. And, you know, they come up with these assimilation programs and everything. And, you know, we just want return of everything, you know, and that's what we're thinking for right now.
Thank you. You know, one of the things that that's happened throughout the years is, at one time, people were not powerful. And yes, the government was able to control everything. And look at, they've tried to block off the Central America. They've tried to block off South America. They've tried to block off, you know, we have no business telling people what they can or can't do when it comes to territory, because man did not make the territory. Man did not create the ground. And you look at right now, Russia and China, they're not messing with the U.S. They're not. And right now, as we all know, President Biden was supposed to be speaking with Vladimir Putin this morning around 10 o'clock. But sometimes when bullied, other countries or our people are going to stop fighting back, and we need to really watch it, because we're in a system now where the United States at one time may have been the most powerful and well-respected, but the United States now is being laughed at. They're being laughed at not only because of the division between parties in government, but they're also being laughed at for other things. Mass incarceration is one, because as you know, I interview people from other countries who say there's no such thing as mass incarceration in their countries, who say there's no such thing as the abuses and the deprivations that go on in this country. And a lot of these prison guards, these correctional officers in other countries, they talk more humane to the prisoners than we do in this country. Our corrections department, the Department of Corrections, they are about abusing more and more and more instead of trying to work with these people to try to make them better. There's no such thing as rehabilitation in prison. I started a petition to do away with prisons, to replace prisons with long-term residential treatment facilities, because the prisons are full of people that have psychological issues or people that have committed offenses when they've been under some form of drug or alcohol. There's wrongfully convicted in the prisons. There's first-time offenders serving. Everyone is getting life and life without parole. We don't see people getting 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. Now we see life and life without parole. Just throw them in like cattle, all because we have greedy government looking for more money from the prisoners, from their families, from the budgets, the monies that are given to the Department of Corrections across the country. And then they have unions that are so powerful that a lot of lawyers and politicians are afraid to go up against the system, the penal system. But we are the laughing stock right now of a lot of countries throughout the world. So America, don't think that you're anything that you're not. They're not. They can't bully anymore like they used to, because all these other countries are starting to get up there in the world. And right now, they need to watch out for Russia, and they need to watch out for China, and they need to watch out for others, whether it be Iran, Iraq, whether it be Venezuela, whether it be Palestine, Pakistan, whether it be Afghanistan. Because what they did to even those people, promising them one thing and not coming through for them. As I said, I was raised to be honest, and all we have gotten is a lot of corruption in this country, a lot of lies, a lot of deception, a lot of people being stumbled and put into prison because of the way others have raised their children to be as deceptive and corrupt. And unfortunately, there's a lot of these kids in government, now adults, who were raised to hate, who were brought up to be dividing everybody. There's a lot of people who are raised to have hatred for someone else's pigmentation. There was a lot of them that growing up because of jealousy, because they weren't raised the same way that a lot of the people they're trying to bring down were raised. You don't believe in Christmas, and I understand that. But you know what Christmas was really about? It was, again, was about love, about compassion, about mercy, about giving, not taking. So even though a lot of people in this country believe in Christmas, a lot of them are not here celebrating Christmas to give. They're here celebrating Christmas to take from others. A lot of them have taken lives through the death penalty and finding out years later that the person or people were innocent. A lot of them are taking lives by throwing people in prison for life and life without parole, without even knowing their situation and the damaging effects it's doing to them and also to their families. I've spoken to government leaders about prisoners who have been put in situations in prison when they have done nothing wrong, and how there are some employees that would be willing to help testify on those issues. And yet these politicians could care less. They don't care. They don't care if the person might be innocent of what they're being accused of or innocent and being put on a block they shouldn't be on. They don't care, because if they did and they knew there was people that are willing to talk about it, they would be quick to go in. But when they're getting ready for election time, they're all over you, sending in emails, writing letters to you, calling. That's not sincerity. That's a motive. The Indians have lost a lot. The Native Indians have lost a lot. The blacks have lost a lot. The browns have lost a lot. The red, the beige. We have the Indians. We have the African Americans, the Hispanics. We have the Arabs. And I will say we have the Jews, I think, because many of them have gone the other way too. But we have a lot of different races. We have the Asians, all being oppressed in this country. In this country, the United States, not America, the United States representing every country in the world. And yet, all of the people of color, of any kind of color, are being oppressed. So what is it? Is it going to be the United States, or is it going to be the country of Caucasian only? And who's classified as Caucasian? We got Italians from Sicily that are brown skin. And Italians can be sometimes pretty racist too. And we got Arabs, white and of color. So it's about pigmentation. It's about hatred for something a lot of people don't even understand. And rather than to get to understand that person or those pigmentations, they just automatically hate them. This Christmas, I'm hoping there's going to be some people waking up and saying they want to learn more about different cultures rather than hating these different cultures. I study religion and I study cultures. I was at a church one time years ago, a Baptist church, when the pastor was talking about the Allah, Allah, Allah. And, you know, this is why I say it gets me really sick, because it's not a, it's like they make it like a certain Muslim God. It's a God just like the God we believe in. But the Arabic language for God is Allah. And some say Jesus, those that believe that Jesus is God himself rather than the Son of God. That's the Spanish way of saying Jesus. Everybody has a different way of saying something, and people take it to be something bad rather than trying to find out what it's all about. Now, the Native Indians, they're all over the country, but you speak of the Native Indians, but you're speaking of certain tribes right now. Do the natives ever get together with other tribes around the country besides the Sioux Indians or whatever? Can you talk about some of the tribes that do come together to go over these things, to talk about these things? Are you on mute again? Well, he's on with us, but I think he might be on mute and doesn't know it. So I'm going to get back to what I wanted to talk about mainly, and that's the incarcerated, because this is the time of the year when many incarcerated and suicides are very common in the United States with prisoners, and I'm sure a lot of it around the holidays. There is a group called Massachusetts Against Solitary Confinement, and they, if you can, you can find them on the internet, Massachusetts Against Solitary Confinement, and they are always looking for pen pals for these people who are in prison and are in solitary, and they do training. And so if anyone's interested in reaching out to any prisoners during these holiday seasons, try to reach out to Massachusetts Against Solitary Confinement and see if you can't do something positive for the holidays. We have a caller, 605. A lot of static.
Yeah, this is Janupa. How you doing, sister?
I'm doing good, but we got a lot of interference in the background. I don't know if you're driving.
Got a lot of interference in the background. Look at the board. See if that 1111 number is on your side. Sometimes when that happens, what happens is a lot of times that number will, you know, put it stop in there, and then it'll show all different type of behavior.
I
so
can't hear.
That's what happens all the time.
Well, it's not going to happen on the show all the time because I try to keep it as clear as possible. Right now, there's a lot of static.
Yeah, that's what's happening. I don't hear no static on this.
Well, you'll hear it when you hear back on the radio show. But anyway, go ahead and let the audience know your name, Janupa, and what you would like to ask.
Well, if there's static on you, I'm going to let you out and enjoy your show. I'm not going to get involved because every time that comes up like that and then you have static, I don't want to get involved with that because there's too much stuff going on in this country. I'm going to let you all have your show and enjoy it and keep it going.
It's not static. It's a lot of noise in the background.
There's no noise here. I'm by myself.
Well, there's a lot of
noise.
Kind of an echo, too. Yeah. Sometimes when we have these calls coming in, if there's traveling, if there's noise in the background, it's very distracting, so hopefully he'll call back when it's quieter in the background. But again, we want to talk about the things that are going on right now in a lot of areas. And we have a lot of things that are going to be going on because I see the upcoming year is going to be full of controversy and conflict. Right now, there's a lot going on overseas. We know we brought the troops back from Afghanistan, but it looks like we may be sending troops back to some other countries from the looks of it. I don't know. But I'm going to get back to incarceration because right now, that's the thing that bothers me the most, is that there's no reason why anybody should be incarcerated for life and life without parole or on the death penalty when there are so many positive options that they can do. And those positive options, as far as I'm concerned, is to either stop building more long-term residential treatment facilities that will be successful. The ones that I have known or been familiar with are facilities where they have put mentally ill or addicted in residential facilities for 6 months to a year or two. They don't have long-term residential treatment facilities that are for 10 years and 20 years. And they've closed down all the mental institutions. And all of these mental institutions, once they were closed, a lot of these people had no places to go. So where they are out in the streets, in the prison, have been put to death because they have done something wrong, or are just lost. So what we want to try to do is try to understand why these people are being put in prison when they're sick, psychologically, spiritually, or physically sick. Why are they being put in prison? Because we have a government that has no solutions, that don't know what to do about it. And why is it so difficult when the common people out in the communities, even myself, know of options that are going to be successful? When people from other countries are talking about their country in comparison to the United States of America, not having a mass incarcerations in their country, the recidivism rate is just not there. It's not high at all. Where in America, everything is high. Recidivism rate is high. Incarceration's high. Expectations are high. But yet nothing positive is being done. 505. You want to state your name? This is the United States of America. People are afraid to state their name. They're afraid to talk about the issues. How do you resolve issues when everybody's quiet? Everybody on Facebook loves to like. They click on like for everything. But what is that doing to resolve problems? Other countries would like to know why everybody just puts like instead of speaking out about the issue.
I'm 505, Tahisha.
Tahisha, please state in please tell the audience what you'd like to say.
I agree with you on the topic of incarceration and people unjustly falsified information. Courts don't allow certain documents to be put in as evidence to prove that these people aren't wrong. I mean, they're not wrong. So my grandson right now, he's getting ready to go to prison on the 13th. I don't know where yet, but he got charged with a charge just riding in the car with several other boys, and they shot a gun out the window while they were driving. By him sitting in the back seat, they stated that he was the one that discharged the gun, and he wasn't. But he got charged by being in the presence of these young boys. He got charged also. So, I mean, justice system is not right at all. They just want to take every and each one of these young people and throw them in jail, get their minds corrupted and get them messed up before they even get a good life, a holding life to grow as an adult. By the time they come out of there, they're so messed up, they don't know how to live in society after they come out, because they don't have no programs for them to rehabilitate them and make themselves right. Back at you.
You're right about that. You're right about that. And, you know, there was a recent, his last name was Strickland, that was just recently released. He was in for 43 years. He was in for 43 years, released from prison after 43 years being found innocent. And I understand it was in Missouri. In Missouri, they didn't want to compensate him. So I guess the people started a fundraiser for him. Mm-hmm. Do you have a radio in your background? Can you please shut the radio off if you are with the radio or television on in the background? There's a person in prison who...
I don't have anything on.
It's quiet now. A person in prison who they said the perpetrator, the person that actually did the shooting or whatever, has since been released some time back, but this man who was with him at the time is still incarcerated. I don't know how that works. I don't understand how it works. But these are some of the situations that go on in these prisons, in the courts. And as you said, the courts, the system is screwed up. The system's very screwed up. They don't have a way to resolve something. So rather than try to figure out a way, you know, to resolve an issue, they figure it's easier just to throw people in prison and forget about them. But pretty soon, I would say pretty soon, the prisons are going to have more people on the inside than on the outside, because we don't have people with heads, with intelligence. We have people that get into positions because of who they know, or maybe the piece of paper that they get from their years of college or whatever, but they have no wisdom, no discernment, no motivation or potential to help those who are going to prison. They have no way of coming up with solutions because they're so much worried about keeping up with their peers that they don't want to take the time out to really get to know these situations. Go into these prisons. There should be oversight in these prisons at all times. Ongoing. Politicians should be going in all the time. The media should be allowed to go in. Rather than reporting issues of the perpetrators, they need to go into the prisons and find out what's really going on. They report half the news. And I will say, when the Republicans talked about fake news, a lot of the media is fake news. I will agree with them on that one. And I will also say, we know where these Republicans stand. We know what they're about. But when we get promises, when we get promises made by the opposite party and they don't fulfill those promises, and criminal justice reform was supposed to be one on the list, which you don't hear anything about now. I'd rather somebody, just like Vladimir Putin, we know Vladimir Putin does not like the United States of America. And I respect him for that because he's forth about it. I respect people that are honest, that let it be known. We might not like what they say. We might not like what's going on, but it's honesty. Rather than to be promised or be told things that are not true just to get somebody's vote. And I'll hand it back to you.
Well, like I said before, a lot of times we try to raise our children right, you know, because I'm 70 years old, and I grew up in a good era of life where we didn't have those problems when we was growing up, because our parents were very strict with us, and they showed us the way and how to be and how to be productive in society and everything. But now that we're getting old and our children are growing up, they don't know these things. Some of them don't want to know, and some of them just follow people out there that are in the street and getting into trouble and all this and that, and you try to tell them right, and they still don't want to listen till they get in trouble. Then here they come calling you, you know, come get me out, you know. Yeah, okay. Well, what'd you do to get in there, you know? And I was trying to tell you the right way and the wrong way, and you don't want to listen. So, you know, what do you do then when a child is just like these young girls running around out here by themselves and not being with somebody that made them from them getting picked up and getting raped and stuff like that, and taking rides and getting bribes by men and stuff, and be taken away and stuff like that. You know, it's just that this whole generation that's coming up now does not know that the facts of life, how dangerous it is out here. It's so easy for them just to go in the bar and they get drugged and they get taken out of there by some guy that they don't even know. And here they go. They end up dead someplace. You know, it's just an ongoing thing. Every day you hear that. And I don't know what we can do to change things, because there's not a lot of programs out there to help these people other than going to Dr. Phil. And that's not a solution either. All right, years back ago, at you.
Years ago, as a social worker, when teachers in schools saw something unusual about the kids, or they saw that the kids were having some kind of difficulty, they would call the Department of Social Services and file a CHINS case, which is a child in need of services. We should have people that are able to, especially if they're doing the right thing, to be able to observe body language, whatever it might be, to observe when something is not right with an individual. Instead of observing and trying to have a program to put them in, they used to have the Big Brother, Big Sister program. You know, they used to have the Department of, I don't know if they still have the Department of Youth Services, but they're putting all these youth into prisons, adult prisons now. Then we have, actually, we just got a call in from an incarcerated individual from Pennsylvania. And this man is serving time in prison, not life, he's serving time in prison. This is a man that lost his father to suicide. He lost his brother, his only sibling, to suicide. He lost his mother to cancer. He's in prison now. People need to start looking at the causes of people failing and stumbling and ending up in prison, because there's always a situation that causes somebody to stumble. And I would like, Kelly, I would like for you to tell your story and why you're incarcerated and what's going on.
Also known as Kelly Donahue, and like Leona said, you know, all them tragedies did happen in my life, and pretty much during my incarceration at one time or another.
This is a call from Pennsylvania State Correctional Institution, Brackville.
This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
Like she said, I'm not doing a life sentence, but you basically say that I'm doing a life sentence in installments. I'm going to be 49 at the end of this month, and I spent 30 years of my life in prison. Started out when I was 15, I did it. I said a little bit about that before. It was for accessory to break and enter and a crime that I never could commit. Well, like she was saying, you know, sometimes things like that just make you worse. And I didn't have anybody to talk to. My mom and my dad were all separated. And my dad's up here in Pennsylvania. We were down in North Carolina. And I couldn't even relate to my mother's boyfriend. He was only like 10 years older than I was. So if anything, that just caused a bigger divide between me and my mother, which we didn't rectify until years later. But it just creates a cause and effect chain of events situation. You know, I learned every criminal aspect of my life from being behind bars. I didn't learn any of these things from being out there in the free. Any hate, any prejudices, any of that I have, I developed while I was in prison. That's where I learned them while I was in prison, one or the other. And eventually it turns into a situation where you no longer have trust for authority figures anymore. So then it becomes a point where you don't even want to talk to anybody. And when they do talk to you, it seems like everything they're saying is a lie. So then you can't trust a man, so to speak, right? Which is, you know, your politicians, your judges, your lawyers, you know, and then eventually just you, who is considered to be your peers, are the ones that end up teaching you everything that you need or that you learn about life. Like, I was young, I was impressionable, so I got that penitentiary mentality early on in my life.
This is a call from Pennsylvania State Correctional Institution, Brackville.
This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
So I carried that with me whenever I went home. And I couldn't leave the prison behind me. I mean, there's a lot of screwed up things that happen. You know, I've been chained up and naked to a bed for 2 weeks. And that was when it started out when I was 15 years old. I've not been in the hole. I've been in the hot box down in North Carolina. I don't know if you've ever seen Cool Hand Luke, that movie when they put him in the box after. Well, they actually had them things down. And they did that to me. And I'd be in there for a couple of days. The temperature was like 120 degrees outside, 140 degrees inside that cell. And all I had on was just a pair of underwear, that was it, and have access to water or not. So these things will play in your mind. Well, to make a long story short, half my family up here in Pennsylvania was dying, so I got out of prison last time in North Carolina down there in 97, and I came up here to be with my dad. My dad, my grandma, my mom was still down in North Carolina, my brother was down in North Carolina, and, you know, everybody else was up here. Well, not long after being up here, that a good friend of mine committed suicide. He did that right in front of me. He jumped out in front of the truck. And they actually were investigating me, saying that I might have pushed him in front of it. And the reason that they were doing that is because I had a criminal history. And that's another thing. If you have a criminal history, it makes you an easy target. So if you're standing in a line of people that have never been in trouble before, and you have a record, then you're the first one that they're going to look at. And then even if you didn't commit the crime, it would be easier to convict you of that crime because you have a record than it would be to go after somebody that actually did the crime. But I've been in that situation, too. So anyhow, it wasn't but a couple months later, my aunt, she ends up dying from MS. She was only like 9 years older than me. She had multiple sclerosis. She ended up dying from that. That's my dad's sister. And it was like 4 or 5 months after that, my dad committed suicide. And then probably maybe, I don't know, 4 months after that, I ended up going to jail for a DUI from trying to help, you know, I shouldn't have been driving in the first place. I was drinking and driving, but I was trying to help somebody out. It was at a bar, got in a fight, and I was trying to drive them home and ended up getting a DUI. Well, I ended up getting 90 days in jail for that. And while I was in jail, someone burnt my house down. The house has been in my family for 120 years. So somebody ended up burning it down. So the first one they look at is me. If it wasn't for me being in jail at the time, they would have probably went ahead and pinned that on me in. They were asking me if I had insurance and all this stuff. And I didn't. I didn't have no insurance, so I couldn't collect any money off of me. So I get out in charges for a DUI and unauthorized use of a vehicle. Well, for the person that actually did unauthorized use of a vehicle, I wouldn't testify against them. So Jeffrey Berkey in Jefferson County, Pennsylvania, Court of Common Pleas, says to me, he says, well, you're just going to take a plea bargain for a county sentence, 11 and a half to 23 and a half months or something, he said. And I wouldn't take it because I wasn't guilty. And he's like, well, he said, I don't care if you're guilty or not. He said, it's just a matter of whether I can convict you of it. So here we go again. We've got somebody that's abusing their authority that's in a power authority figure. So they wanted me to testify against this guy. I wouldn't do it. So they charged me with the crime. That's what they did. So I went to court, and on the day of trial, they ended up adding robbery of a motor vehicle to the charges because I wouldn't take a plea bargain. Well, I ended up getting found not guilty for that one. They found me guilty for the two misdemeanors, and I ended up with 9 months to 2 years in state prison. And while I was there, I ran into somebody that actually knew a little bit about the law, because I just know enough about the law to get myself in my sentence. Well, this guy here was looking at my casework, and he says, no, that's not right. They ain't allowed to do that. They gave the guy time off of his county sentence to testify against you, the same one that I wouldn't testify against. So it took, a year and 11 months on my two-year sentence to get back into court to get it vacated. They vacated the sentence after I'd already done it. Well, I didn't know that I had any legal recourse. I don't even know I still might have, that I could have sued them for doing that. No, I was just glad to be out of prison. Well, they think that I got away with something. So, of course, I'm on their radar. So then they ended up getting me for aggravated assault on a police officer. They ended up getting me for sexual assault, rape, and then it was DUI, fleeing to elude, propulsion of a missile into a vehicle. I mean, this was all one time, all one supposed event. And out of all them crimes, the only thing that I was guilty of was the DUI and fleeing to elude, because I was not going to go to jail again for something that I didn't do. And I even got out and I made a standoff with the cops, and the ones that I did get in a fight with, I didn't get an aggravated assault on them. There was somebody that tried to run me off the road, tried to do a bit maneuver on me. I T-boned him, so he gave me an aggravated assault on that. Then there was another one. There was an off-duty cop later on that tried to test somebody that I was with, but I didn't know he was an off-duty cop. He never mentioned that he was. And then I got in between him and stopped him. I started to walk away. He grabbed me, and I turned around and pushed him. I got an aggravated assault on a police officer for that. And then he went to court, lied, said he showed his badge three times and said that he was an off-duty police officer. I ended up altogether with 26 years, like 12 to 26 years. And I'm at the tail end of that now. And they did this thing called an aggregated sentence on me, which actually increases the punishment. They're trying to say that it makes it easier to come up for parole and to get out, but it doesn't. It just makes your sentence even harder, because I'd already been doing all them sentences for the past 20 years together once I came up for parole the first time. But for some reason, I still have another 6 years on my max out. So I was just recently out, probably about 2 years ago, and ended up with another violation for failing to register my address. So I got another 3 years for that alone. And then I come back in here from county jail, and ended up adding another 3 years to my max date, which isn't supposed to happen like that. So I haven't even started that sentence. And then when I do start it, it's not going to increase my max date anyway, because this bigger sentence is going to distort that one. And that's where I'm at with this right now.
Kelly, do you want to give the audience any information as how they can get in contact with you if they want to help or if they know anything?
Yeah, Kelly Donahue. That's K-E-L-L-Y. Last name Donahue, D-O-N-A-H-U-E. And if you're an attorney or have an attorney number, you can write me right here in Frackville. You'd have to put S-C-I-F-R-A, and then the address is, put my name, my prison number, which is FF5298. And then the address is 1111 Altamont Boulevard, Frackville, PA, 17931. Now, if you're not an attorney, but, you might know somebody that can help me out, or you might have been in a similar situation or whatever, then you have to go to the phone distance route, which is a P.O. box number. So on this, you have to put the letters S-T with a dash, and then S-C-I-F-R-A, /PA.DOC. Yeah. And then you put my name, and then my prison number, and then it goes P.O. Box 33028, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33733. And all our mail has to be sent down to Florida, scanned down there, and then they have to fax it up here, or however it is that they do it. Well, that's another $300,000 a month for taxpayers in Pennsylvania.
Now, Kelly, he just talked about numerous things that we've been talking about in the penal system. First of all, he spoke about them wanting him to plead guilty to something he didn't do, which we've been hearing a lot about that lately, too. It was a catch-22 where they wanted people to admit guilt when they're not guilty, which makes it impossible for them to be able to get it off their record when they're not guilty of it. And then he spoke about the reasons, the things that happened. And I'm going to have you on, Chinook, in a few minutes. I got to mute you again. People that are going into prison for situations where they should be in rehabilitation programs. Kelly mentioned that he had been on DUI, so he had an alcohol problem. That doesn't warrant somebody being in prison. We have somebody that lost their brother and their father to suicide, which is a psychological issue. That shouldn't be in prison.
You have 1 minute left.
So we also have, as he said, when anyone writes, they have to write, even though he's in Pennsylvania, they have to write him all the way to Florida, which the mail goes to Florida and then gets transferred up to Pennsylvania. Then we have...
Yeah, and like you're saying, they go through everything they can to keep you in here, to deter people from trying to help you, to help you get out, for you to want to stay out. And don't do anything for you to get out. They don't put any money towards us getting out. We can't get a place to live or nothing like that. It's always these CCCs that they got. And it's just a setup just to come right back in here, the big old revolving door. And this thing's getting ready to hang up, and I appreciate you guys listening to me. And maybe next week we can call back and we can find out what happens. If anybody's listening, and maybe...
Kelly. That was one example. And Chinook, I want your thoughts on that.
First of all, sister, when I look on these kind of issues pertaining to people that are incarcerated, it's never a first until we take this approach to hold the system accountable. Okay. And I always stress that more on an independent structure. Because, okay, here's a young man that, all these problems that are liquefied, okay, people listen real carefully. Chinupa's going to get heavy on this shit. Earlier, when I tried to call in, Sister Leona was saying there was a lot of background noise, which there was none. I know how the system works. So, what happens today with people like the gentleman that's incarcerated? Liquidation is how America perpetuated its abuse of one's human rights, regardless of what the scenario is. And when you violate human rights from the public's point of view, then there is no rights for anyone. And every time rights get taken, look what he just said. He said his mail has to go down to Florida and then get processed and then sent somewhere else. You see, this is inhuman. But see, we as taxpaying payers, whether you pay tax on a little grocery item, whatever, you're a taxpayer. Don't forget that. The hard part is the institution of incarceration is not allowing people to have more of a intuition notification with people that do not have anything, that have nothing to do with the penal complexes, the courts, and so forth. The reason why I say that, it becomes a human rights violation because it's ethnic cleansing, no matter what you want to do. See, I've always tried to go back into history and ask people this. You show me where the indigenous people dropped the bomb in some of them poor countries and invaded country and took their resources, whatever they had, even their people. You'll never see the indigenous do that because, well, we didn't invent no bomb. We're not that type of people. You see, my sister Leona's into Christianity because I listen to her a lot. And I listen to a lot of you talk about Christ and all this. You know, okay, so if you put that faith on Christianity, there's a broad network of all kinds of Christians and, you know, people that believe in that faith. And I'm only using that term to describe it. When Jericho's walls came down, they incarcerated a man. They put him in there. I think his name was Daniel. Daniel, they put him in the lion's den. Okay? Bible scriptures. And so when these kind of things are taking place and yet people can't abide by that book, but they're going to talk about it, you see, that's inhuman from even outside against, you know, the waters in the country of Turtle Island. Today, I just had a white man flip me off in a pickup truck for nothing. I didn't do nothing to him. I'm driving right behind him, and I'm taking some food down to Denalder's, and, you know, he's on the reservation, wherever he came from, I don't know. Don't care. It's none of my business. So I go around him because the speed limit is 65, so obviously he's doing 40 or 45, so I pass him. And I kept a normal speed of 65. So he comes zipping up on me. And all of a sudden, he starts flipping me off. What does that tell you? I didn't do nothing to the guy. I'm in my car and you're in your car. But because I'm going to feed our people. See, this is inhuman. So that's how behaviors work. They start like that, and then they call the cops and say, oh, this such and such guy. But this is the reservation now. Hear me. You see, outside the reservation, white people are doing it every day to flip you off, even just for looking at them. But the courts do the same thing. The penal complexes do the same thing because they find ways to try to intensify you, chastise your behavior to get you to respond negative. And then that way they can say that you have a problem. When you look at alcohol, drugs, tobacco, whatever the liquidation, pharmaceuticals, cough syrup, these were created by civilized and modern man to control population. They say they're to help you because of your sicknesses, whether it's cold, a fever, sinuses, diarrhea, so forth. I disagree, folks, and I'm always going to disagree. The hard part is it's a way of depowering, you know, depowering human rights. So when you're dealing with people that run colonial prison camps like that young man, let me put this in a real simple explanation to all of you. Listen, language is the key of exemption. No matter what you do, that's a conversation of a necessity. In other words, that's a right and that's also a privilege in any institution's prison camp. Whether it's a correctional facility that's got work release or the supermaxes. What he's talking about, the FCI, the Federal Correctional Institution. Okay? Understand that. I know what exactly he's talking about because I deal with a lot of stuff in there. And, you know, from an outside level. So what happens is every one of them have what they call a sentence clause. The first clause of that sentence is vested upon the station that discuss the orderly fashion of how an institution is supposed to be operated, the same as a court system. Those are unnecessary interferences from anyone that's got money, okay? Money. Look, here's a good example, folks. That Rittenhouse kid that shot them three white people, wounded a few others, okay? White folks came to his aid in a mass defense and raised millions of dollars for him for his defense. Okay? That's inhuman. But see, that's how white folk do it. White folk will do it for their own, to justify the acquiring of means of law. That's all illegal. Those are causes of actions that are illegal because you just injured people. That's how courts operate. There's no injunction until people, like I said, many, many radio shows band together and let's bring charges against them on crimes against humanity. These sentencings are invalidated, man. These courts are biased. Washington, D.C. is doing it. Look. I'm going to put this scale wider on a bigger level. Here's Russia, the Soviet Union, and here's China. The American system is blaming them for stuff. Here's these two countries you and I don't know about. I've been to Russia many years ago, back in the latter part of the early 90s. I went to Dagestan. I was invited over there when Putin and them guys were still in power. But what I saw over there, I seen nomadic people still live off the land hunting reindeer. Because there's a lot of it over there, a lot of reindeer. And man, them people were eating healthy. They were still invoking their traditional way of living. And they lived in a circular tent-looking thing. And wherever the caribou moved, they took it down and they followed it. They were part, you know, part relations to those Mongols and Samis over there. This is what I seen in my time, in physical form, people. And then people didn't have no jails. They didn't have no law enforcement patrolling. You see, you have to understand your heart's mind to see the big picture. But you don't do that, people, because we've been cultivated with white America's educational field of learning through English, necessities, their common, you know, virtues of education and so forth. But we forgot our own. Well, unfortunately, Chinupa didn't. I still have my languages. Our language is never in the courts, which they should be. By all means, they have to be in courts. They also have to be in Senate. Because if you go to the United Nations and you listen, those people use their own language over there. And English is second. That's the hard part. So here we are. The system says we are guaranteed to have rights without no interference. That's what they say. You all know that. But when it becomes an issue as a clause, that common clause, they regulate that power to control you because we do not have mammon. And if you have mammon, that's your ticket to freedom. You see, this is, look, you don't want to blame the white man. You don't want to blame him. Now, you have to, because not only is the white man incarcerating people, the indigenous people are incarcerating people. The black people are incarcerating them. Don't get offended, man. And even our Spanish people are doing it, the ones we call Mochica, because they all blended into that system, see? So there's no good faith in any means necessary. That's the hard part. They invented alcohol, drugs, tobacco, all of this illegal stuff to hold us accountable, because once we get addicted to that stuff, we're going to want more. They're no different than any street paraphernalia, methamphetamine, cocaine, marijuana, all this stuff. See, that's how they constantly keep it going. Now, a young girl was supposed to come on the radio show named Angela to talk about all this stuff where people are pointing fingers at each other. And I urge a lot of the people of color to back up and watch them do it to themselves. And if you don't participate, they will flip you off. They will say something to you. That's what's happening here. You don't have to do nothing. So if they flip you off, accept it. Big deal. You didn't do nothing. If you lower yourself to that man's level that did that to me, hey, I'm just like him. Nah, I can't do that. Hey, whatever troubles him, that's him. That's why plea agreements become a captured void, okay? Captured void. Because you are. That's the opportunity how they use that equal protection to come at you. And then they coerce you to agree to that. Hey, look, even though we know that you're innocent. That's why that word, what do they call it, man, in the lateral terms of law? Nolo contendere, right? Nolo contendere allows you to agree to that. You're agreeing to something for lesser when you didn't do nothing. This is how America practices and perfects colonial policies to neutralize human rights. And people, you go for it. You go for it. That's sad. You become a 501c3. Your C3, a 501c3, you're only minimal to target an issue. You can't go all the way because they write your paycheck. They write your salary. And then you don't want to lose that. The independent structure on the left hand is really freedom. That's the hard part. But people don't like to engage in that. So like I've said before, when the walls of Jericho came down and Daniel was trapped in a lion den, he still believed in his great mystery, according to those Bible scriptures in that book. And so the great mystery saved him and freed him. You see, he believed in the faith of the great mystery, and that's how he was freed. You do that with civilized and modern man, they won't free you. If they did, George Floyd, the late George Floyd, would still be there alive today. That's the white man's counterfeited everything. You all know that. When they made agreements with our black people, promised them 40 acres in the mill, did they fulfill it? When they made all these treaties and made my people sign on it and live bad according to those rules in it, did they fulfill it? The Board of Education's in this country that are supposed to give the protection clause to the learning field of children, did they fulfill it? The minute you figured out, man, what they were doing, they were finding ways to take back every civil and human rights away from you, humans. That's what they do, man. And we just sit back and do nothing but talk about things, not pointing the finger at him. He's the problem. But if all of you can collectively take your consciousness back around, I've said this at a gathering. As this leader was invited to a human rights and a prisoners conference down in Lincoln, Nebraska, the beginning of the year 2021, look it up. It's on the internet. It's on YouTube. Just type in Chinupa and the rally down in Lincoln, Nebraska. You're going to see me there. In the cold, dead of cold. And I did this for our people incarcerated. So here we are doing these measures for people. But where are the people in general that cry out because of the injustices? You see what I'm saying? It's always something stronger that's going on. There were some 501c3 people there. But because of the caliber and the harsh atonement, because yes, I went down there for you, people incarcerated. That's what I came down there for. Joe Biden got into the presidential thing, and if he's supposed to be a leader, if you're a leader, any president, if you're a leader, open up all the jails and set everybody free and shut them down. But see, that's how capitalistic control works. God, man, the great mystery is looking at it saying, come on, two-legged. I got your back. Please, I will defend you. He will. The spiritual awakening came back in 2013, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. It's almost 8 years old. It's going to end here in a few months, few days. And then we go again. We got 5 more years to catch up to it. But our people don't believe in it. They don't believe in it. But we're going to talk again. And I'm going to turn it back to you, because the solution to all that is we need to come together rather than unify ourselves and create a united front. Nah, I don't want to use the term that belongs to the white man. The perpetuating behavior they have done, they altered every existing human rights bill and forced them against the rest of humanity to cultivate you, to incarcerate you, to strip you of your human life, and we're doing nothing pointing the finger at him. And that's what's happening. Back to you, sister, and I hope I answered that question the best I could. Thank you.
Thank you, Chinook. But we have someone, another caller, 314. You want to state your name, please?
You know, the 40 acres in the mule should have been rescinded because that was Indian land. Those states coming over, Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Choctaw, the Creek, that was Indian land. So it was a wrong move. And you know, you talk about injustice. If George Floyd had been locked up the way he should have been on the previous crimes that he committed, especially with the pregnant woman when they forcibly entered into her home, and they was practically slapped on the wrist and let go, then that date in Minneapolis maybe wouldn't have happened. So things happen for a reason. Parents in school districts, according to many state laws, I know Missouri in particular and probably some others, they have by statute a right to control their school district and teach whatever it is that they feel that works out with their long-term plan and the education of their children. But as the gentleman said also, they don't do that. Nobody takes upon themselves the powers that they have from the liberty that has been presented to them. That there is the question. I want to ask, too, was this gentleman involved with the Jericho movement that was held in Washington, D.C. about a decade or so ago?
Young man, I've been in every movement that has a struggle about human rights and incarceration. Yeah. Chinupa Glob Money's been there, done that, still living it today, brother.
Were you with Dennis Banks by the chance?
No, I was the personal bodyguard to Lehman Brightman and the late Russell Means. Both Lehman and Russell are gone, but I was with Dennis and them in Wounded Knee in 1973 when we took up arms against the federal government. I knew Dennis, but like,
Dennis and a group of Native came through on their way to Washington, D.C. They was in bus.
Mm-hmm.
They stopped in St. Louis. And
yep.
We put them up in their home. They stayed in black homes. But we
yep.
felt it was more appropriate for them to sleep on a soft bed than
right.
on the bench in a bus. And I also, me personally, I gave him some presents. But no, we know the struggle. We know the story.
Yeah.
We may not agree on all the principles, but
that's
human beings.
That's right.
Thank you, sir.
I appreciate that comment. It's a great one. Thank you. Thank you for acknowledging us. Great to be remembered.
I appreciate both of you because, like I say, sometimes the knowledge, the true knowledge, the expertise comes from people who have been there and done it, as you say, Chinupa. And we have, again, we have government leaders who have not been there and done it. And they try to rule the country. They try to do the job that they're hired to do when they don't have the knowledge or the experience. And they all these radio shows that bring on all these experts that have written books, they're promoting the books, the sales of these books for these people. But I don't see where these people are knowledgeable or able to resolve any of the issues because it's all about talk. And as you mentioned, where are these people? These people should be coming forward and talking. They should be talking on radio shows. They should be talking in the media. They should be talking about a lot of these issues. And you mentioned that I'm a Christian. I'm going to say I believe in the Christ, and I am a spiritual person. But I have respect for all religions because no one has the right answer. No one has the wrong answer. And when I go and get involved, and I've been involved in many, many religions because I want to find out for myself what they believe in and what they're all about, not just judging them based on speak, because they're not of a certain religion. I don't belong to any one religion anymore, but I do believe in the Christ Jesus. We have another caller that I'd like to have you state your first name and tell the audience what you'd like to say. I'm going to unmute you now. 323?
Yeah, my name's Joe. I was here last week.
Oh, yes, Joe.
You're always talking about injustices, so I thought I'd come back to find out what the newest information is and what's being done and what particular group is getting the concentration of the injustice.
Okay, we have a lot of my point on injustice is mainly in the prison, the people in behind those prison walls who are being prejudged. There's a lot of people incarcerated who are being prejudged. People stereotype all prisoners, and I think you've heard me talk about this before. People stereotype all prisoners, and they shouldn't, because I don't know if you heard when Kelly Donahue was on the phone talking about his situation, but there are so many people incarcerated who have had some form of traumas themselves, and there are so many people in prison who have been wrongfully convicted. And there are so many people in prison who are being abused, deprived, harassed, provoked, violated. And instead of putting them in prisons, my focus is to have these prisons replaced with long-term residential treatment facilities where they will actually get the help they need. I don't know if you've had experience with any of this, but if you have, I'd like to hear it.
No, and I have been involved in this, two examples of corruption, one judicial, one that was dealing with law enforcement, and on a lower level. And I can tell you that it's very, very easy for judges and for cops to become corrupt. So anybody who says that, they've had experience with that, I can readily believe it, And it just happens as a result of the cops and judges just, in a way, defending themselves. Just if somebody, not if you get in their face, but if you point out that something is wrong with the system, then it seems to be almost second nature, at least in the two experiences that I've been with, for them to go and reach into their bag of corruption in order to protect themselves. So if it's that easy on a lower level, I can just imagine how it is on a municipal and congressional and governor level of the state. It's got to be extremely prolific.
What are your thoughts on oversight with the penal system? Do you feel that there's enough oversight? I don't see it. I don't see it myself at all. And I know they have a powerful union, which I think a lot of politicians, legislative members are afraid to go up against. But something needs to be done with the oversight of what's going on in these prisons today.
I know nothing about it, but what I'm going to say is going to be based on assumptions. Knowing the way that our Congress is corrupt today, I would just automatically assume that they don't give one rat's ass about rehabilitation or anything dealing with criminals. Nothing except to use them as political theater. And that's about it, just to help them get reelected.
You know, sometimes, I fully agree with you on that.
Yeah, so I don't trust anything any politician says anymore. There have been too many examples where, for example, Fauci. I'm not for the vaccines. I think the vaccines are dangerous. There have been Nobel Prize winners of chemistry who have said these vaccines are dangerous. There have been whistleblowers who have said the vaccines are dangerous, and yet the politicians are doing nothing about it. They are doing political theater, and some are trying to blame Fauci for doing gain of function, that he's primarily responsible for it, what we're undergoing today, but they're not doing anything about it. They're always talking about it. And when it comes to criminals, the mindset of politicians for years is always incarceration, very rarely rehabilitation.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I will say, as far as the coronavirus, though, my older brother, died at Cape Cod Hospital in February from the coronavirus. So I believe in that, the coronavirus and the need for resolutions to that. But I don't know, because they said the vaccine was all we needed, and now they're saying booster shots are needed. So I don't think they've found the appropriate solution yet, you know, medically, to address the issue. And I feel sometimes like we're being used as guinea pigs, but at the same time, I don't know how else they're going to, you know, get this under control. But I don't know. It's something that's still very, very long in the making, because they don't have the solution. But I believe that people should try to at least do the, I don't know how social distancing and wearing the mask will help, but it, something has to be done, because if I didn't have this happen in my own family, I would probably be doubting the virus as well. But especially when you're older.
Well, no, it's not about the virus. I wasn't talking about the mortality rate of the virus is very low. I wasn't talking about the effects of the virus. I was talking about the political nature of the vaccine, in that the vaccines do not work. And as you're talking about, they say that at the beginning they said, you don't need vaccines. Yes, you need vaccines. You don't need masks. Yes, you do need masks. Don't worry if them. If you take the vaccine, you'll be protected, but you won't be protected. Okay, you're protected on Monday, you won't be protected on Tuesday, you won't get it on Wednesday, but you'll transmit it on Thursday. So they're confusing everybody. When the CDC and the NIH are that confused about what science is supposed to back them up on, you have to really be concerned. And since my political value wake is looking into the political history, well, not so much the history, but the politics of Congress, the vaccine is a poison, but how that relates to the injustices that your particular focus is, the vaccines, I don't know if they're being introduced in prisons or if the prisoners are protected from the vaccines. If they introduce the vaccines into the prisons and make it mandatory for the prisoners, to take them, there's going to be a lot of deaths in prison unless they give the prisoners placebos.
I think so, right now, I think it's an option right
you
now.
You think it's an option?
Yeah, I think that they're giving them the option. Yeah.
Well, from your experience, what's been done in order to rehabilitate the prisoners, in order to make them reassociate and reacclimate themselves into society? I don't think there's been, I'm going to assume, there hasn't been a hell of a lot of money set aside for that.
I agree. You know, the way I look at it right now is they should, and I've spoken to people at Mass General Hospital and others, and I think the American Psychological Association and the American Psychiatric Association need to be more involved in all of this reform, because they, of all people, should know that we have an epidemic in this country of mental illnesses and addictions. And I don't think that they get involved. Department of Mental Health, another one. I think they need to be more involved. What happens is they contract out the Department of Corrections. And I trained in 2006 with mental health management with a contracted agency from Virginia that was working with the Department of Corrections. After the training, I didn't stay, but I did train. But when these contracted agencies get involved with the Department of Corrections, they more or less become employees of the department. And I think that they are taking orders as well from prison officials instead of, you know, doing their job the way they should. Because we have had prisoners that have been permanently damaged because of some of these medical issues in the prison.
Yeah, do you think that a lot of trauma and PTSD occurs to prisoners while they're in prison, before they get into prison? Or do you think that a lot of prisoners have PTSD or trauma before they go to prison?
I think it's both. There's a lot of people in I know prisoners that are in prison. They were violated as children, you know, and that's a traumatic thing there. A lot of them were violated, even family members. And and others. So they grow up, a lot of, especially if they're men, they grow up keeping it inside because they don't, men are taught not to cry. And men are taught not to show emotions in those areas. And so they hold it in. But there's going to be something along the way that's finally going to set it off. And I think that's what happens in a lot of cases with prisoners. But it's also poor association, you know, people getting involved with wrong company, and there's wrongfully convicted.
Right.
But like you say, it's post-traumatic stress syndrome or disorder is something I think that a lot of them go in with. They're diagnosed differently, though. They're diagnosed as antisocial behavior or something like that. And
Okay.
And then you have those because of the traumas that they experience while incarcerated that end up with PTSD. I interview Marion from the Netherlands every Wednesday. She won't be on this Wednesday. Next Wednesday, she'll be on again. But every Wednesday, and she's from the Netherlands. She's a psychosocial therapist. And she talks a lot about these issues, too, which you might want to come on when she's on the Wednesdays.
Oh, yeah. I was just about to say something like developing PTSD while you're in prison. I'd like to know what the stats are on that. It's, you know, because, I mean, here are human beings being locked up, and they're at the most barbarous stage of humanity in that if you appear to be weak or nice or just plain nice, you can be taken advantage of. You can die because they'll kill you. So you always have to either be predator or the prey, and that's got to take its toll on one's psychology.
Yeah. I was at a prison one time when they had these men coming in from outside. I guess they were minor. They probably didn't have much time left in prison, but they came in. They were doing work out in the grounds, but they came in and they were looking really mean. So I said to them, I said to a couple of them, I said, why do you guys have to look so mean? I said, you always look so serious. And one of them turned around and said to me, because he said, if we don't look this way, he said, then we become targets too. Meaning that, you know, they have to be tough or else.
Right. When I was on your show one other time, did I ever talk to you about what, 60 Days In, that particular TV show?
You started to talk about it, I think, the last time or the time before you came on the show, the 60 Days In. But I'd like to hear more about it because I didn't really catch on too much about what it was about.
Well, what ostensibly is what I think it's actually a false face to the public, that ostensibly it's supposed to be a co-production between I forget the name of the studio, and sheriff's departments, in which volunteers will go into the jails, not the prisons, but the jails for 60 days, and they're supposed to be undercover investigators.
Yes. I remember now. That was interesting. Joe, we have about a minute and a half left.
So okay.
If you want to finish up on what you were just talking about.
Well, very briefly, yeah. I was going to say that some people who did volunteer, they opted out within a couple of days after being in the prison because they realized it was very dangerous. So I was going to use that as a jumping board to say, if people like that who went there knowing they were going to be out in 60 days, tapped out and said, I want to leave here now. What about people who stay in the jail and they can't leave? That's got to really produce mental stress because of these people saying, get me out of here because I'm afraid after the first day or two. What about people who stay in there for, you know, until they go to prison or stay in there for years?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I was just saying?
Sister, this is Chinupa. I'm going to get off the phone. And you and Joe carry on, and
I
hope you guys
down.
Are doing well.
We're going to be closing
down.
I
hope you guys can constant. What's that?
I want to invite you both to come on again. I wasn't even looking at the time. We got a few seconds left, but
you and Joe can handle your stuff, you know, because you know I just heard him say he was the sheriff. He worked for the sheriff at one time. I heard him that. So go ahead.
When did I say that?
Oh, come on. Don't go back on that again. You did, too. You ran your mouth that way, guys.
anyway,
Hostess, did I say that?
No, you were talking about the sheriff something or other, but you didn't mention
right.
that.
Right. No, I did not say I work for a sheriff.
But again, as I said, I'll have Marion Jacobs on, not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday.
Okay.
So you might want to come on and we can finish up in talking about that as well. And I wanted to remind people real quick, too, when someone said, well, since the virus, a lot of these prisoners have been caged in their cells for 22 to 24 hours a day. And I'm going to have to close now. We are going to shut down. Joe, please join us next time. And I'm going to let
sure.
this go now. Okay. You know, Ben, I run a radio show, and I was just in the middle of closing when you called, and I wish you people would start calling. Let me get off the air first. Oh, shoot. You know, you're going to...